السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، وأما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to do ayat 123 to 132 of Surah Ali Imran today. We'll begin with the word meanings, inshallah, starting with ayah number 123. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa and laqad. Lam fatha in the beginning means surely, it's the prefix. And qad means in fact or certainly. So there's double emphasis in this word. So ولقد and surely, in fact or certainly. نصر, he helped. This comes from the word نصر, which means victory, okay, or help. And نصر is a verb in this case, and we know it's third person and singular because there's three fathas in a row on all three letters. So نصر, he helped or he gave victory. Kum, to all of you. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bi badrin, bi a badrin, badr. Wa, while. Antum, all of you. Adhillatun, were weak. Fa, so. Ittaqu, adopt taqwa, or safeguard yourselves. This comes from the word taqwa, taqaf waw, and that means to safeguard or to fear. And this is a command for all of us, so it's plural. It ends in waw followed by the alif, the silent alif, so we know it's plural. So fattaqu, so you all fear or safeguard yourselves or adopt taqwa. Allaha, of Allah. La'allakum, la'alla, so that, kum, all of you, tashkurun, you all are grateful or thankful. This comes from the word shukr, which means to be grateful for. So ta in the beginning means you, and the una ending makes this word plural. So tashkurun, you all are thankful or grateful. If, when, taqulu, you say, kul is the root word and that means to say. Ta in the beginning means you. So taqulu, you say, li to al the mu'minina, believers. This comes from iman. Iman means belief, and mu'min is somebody who believes. And ina ending just makes this word plural. So lil mu'minina, to the believers. Alan, will never. Yakfiakum, this comes from the word kafa, kaf, fa, which means to be enough or to be sufficient. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, so yakfia, it is enough or it is sufficient. Kum, for you all. An, that. Yumidda, he extends help. Kum, to all of you. Rabbukum, Rabb means Lord or Master. Kum, yours. Be with. Thalathati, three. Alafin, thousands. Min, from. Al-Malaikati, the angels. Munzaleen, once sent down. This comes from the word nazal, nunzalam, which means to send down, and munzal, starts out with a Dhamma on the Mim, and the second last letter before the Ina ending has a Fatha on it. So this is passive. So Munzal means one that is sent, and Ina ending just makes this word plural. Munzalin, ones sent down. Bala, rather. In, if. Tasbiru, you all show patience. This comes from the word sabr, which means patience. Ta in the beginning means you. Waw sukun at the end, followed by the silent alif, means this word is plural. So tasbiru, you all are patient. Wa and tattaqu, you all adopt taqwa. Taqaf waw, and that means to be conscious of Allah. So wa tattaqu, and you all adopt consciousness of Allah, or safeguard yourselves. Wa and yet to, they come, kum, to all of you, min, from, fawri him. Fawri means rush, him, theirs. Hada, this, yumdidukum. Yumdid, he extends help, or he supports. And the ya in the beginning refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yumdid, he extends help, kum, to all of you. Rabbukum, your Lord, be with khamsati, 5, alafin, 1,000, min, from, al-malaikati, the angels, musavvimin, ones marked. Wa, and, ma, not, ja'alahu, ja'ala, he made, who, it, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, illa, except, bushra, a good tiding. Lakum, la, for, kum, all of you, wa, and, li tatma'inna, li, so that, tatma'inna, become satisfied or content. Kulub, hearts, kum, yours, be with he, it, wa, and, ma, not, an-nasru, the victory or the help, illa, except, min, from, indi, near, Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Aziz, the always almighty, Al-Hakim, the always all-wise. These are both attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Li, so that, yaqta'a, qata'ain is the root word, and that means to cut off. Ya in the beginning means he. So li yaqta'a, so that he cuts off, tarafan, a side, min, from, alladhina, those who, kafaru, they disbelieved. This comes from kufr, okay? And kufr means disbelief. And in this case, this is a verb, and it's in the third person and plural, because it ends in waw sukun, followed by the silent alif. So kafaru, they disbelieved, or they denied the truth. Oh, or yakbitahum. Yakbita, he exposes to abasement. Hum, them. Fa, so, yanqalibu. Yanqalibu means they return. Okay, or they turn back. The ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and waw sukun at the end, followed by the silent alif, means this word is plural. So it means they. Fa yanqalibu, so they turn back. Khaibin, once frustrated. This comes from the word khaba, which means to fail, to be disappointed. So khaibin, once frustrated or disappointed. Laysa, it is not. Laka, la, for, ka, you. Min, from, al-amri. Al means the. Amr, decision or matter. Shay'un, anything. Aw, whether. Yatuba, he relents. This comes from the word toba, ta waw ba, and toba means when a person does toba, they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to seek forgiveness. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does toba, when he does taba, he turns to people in mercy. Okay, so Yatuba, he turns in mercy, or he relents, alay, upon him, them, aw, or Yu'adhiba, this comes from Adab, Ayn Dalba, which means punishment. You in the beginning means he, so Yu'adhiba, he punishes. Hum, them, fa, so, inna, indeed, hum, they, dhalimun, ones who are wrongdoers. Dhalim means a wrongdoer. It comes from dhulm, which means injustice. And una ending just makes this word plural. So, dhalimun just means ones who do wrong or ones who are unjust. Wa and lillahi. Li in the beginning means for. And when it comes before the noun, before the person being mentioned, it means only. Okay, Allah is the word mentioned next. So lillahi, only for Allah, ma, whatever, fi, in, as-samawati, this is plural for the word sama'i, as-samawati, the skies, or the heavens, wa, and, ma, whatever, fi, in, al-ardi, the earth, yaghfiru, he forgives. Ghafara is the root word, and that means to forgive. And ya in the beginning means he. So yaghfiru, he forgives. And this means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Liman, li, for, man, whom, yasha'u, he wills. Sha'a means to will. Ya in the beginning means he. So yasha'u, he wills. Wa and yu'adhibu, he punishes. Man, whoever, yasha'u, he wills. Wallahu wa and Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ghafurun is all forgiving. This comes from the word ghafara, which means forgiveness. So ghafurun is all forgiving, and rahimun comes from raham, which means mercy. So this is another attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rahimun, one always all merciful. Ya ayyuha aw alladhina, those who amanu, they believed. We know this comes from iman, that means to believe, and this word ends with a waw sukun followed by the silent alif, so we know this is plural. So amanu, they believed. La, do not. Ta'kulu, you all eat. Akala is the root word, alif kaf lam, and that means to eat. Okay, so ta in the beginning means you, waw followed by the alif in the end means this is plural. So la ta'kulu, do not you all eat. Arriba, the usury or interest. Adu'afan, as doubling or manifold, increasing. This comes from the word di'afan, which means to double. Okay, so adu'afan as doubling. Muda'afatan, this comes from di'afa again, and muda'afatan means one redoubled or multiplied. Wattaqu, waw in the beginning with the fatha means and ittaqu means you all have taqwa. We've covered this word many times already. So wattaqu and you all have taqwa, or safeguard yourselves. Allah, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La'allakum, la'alla, so that kum, all of you, tuflihun. This comes from fa lam ha falah, which means success. Tu in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. So tuflihun, you all succeed, or you all become successful. Wattaqu, wa and ittaqu, you all safeguard yourselves. An-nara, the fire, the hellfire. Allati, which. And this word means the same thing as alladhi, that also means which, but allati is the word used here because fire is considered feminine in Arabic. Okay, so the feminine tense is used for fire, so we use alladhi. So wattaqun nara, and fear or safeguard yourselves. An nara, of the hellfire. Allati, which. U'iddat, was prepared. This comes from the word adda, which means to prepare. Okay, and alif starts out with a dhamma, and the second last letter has a fatha on it. So this is in the passive tense, and it is something that has been done already. Okay, it's in the past. So, عدت, it was prepared. لي for al the kafirin, disbelievers. This comes from kufr, which means disbelief. And kafir is somebody who disbelieves. And ina ending makes this word plural. So, disbelievers. Lil kafirin, for the disbelievers. Wa and atiyu, you all obey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa and ar-rasula, the messenger, la'allakum, la'alla, so that kum, you all, turhamun, you are all treated with mercy. This comes from raham, rahamim, which means mercy. And ta in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. The ta begins with a dhamma, and the second last letter before the una ending has a fatha on it. So this is passive. Turhamun, you all are treated with mercy. Alhamdulillah. Now we'll begin with the tafsir of these ayat. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ. And certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped you at the battle of Badr when you were helpless. We had been learning about the battle of Uhud. So why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention Badr here all of a sudden? It's because the Muslims were extremely sad. They had lost heart because 70 Muslims had been martyred at the battle of Uhud. There were no families in Medina that had not lost someone in this war. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded the Muslims about the battle of Badr when things had gone really well for the Muslims. That is what we should do too when we are going through tough times. Remember the good days and keep in mind that Allah can change the situation again. If we are sad right now, we remember that we were happy before when everything was going so well. We tend to forget the good times very easily when we're deeply stressed about something because it's so difficult to get through that sorrowful time. It seems like the good times pass so quickly, but even one day or a night we spend in difficulty feels like it's extremely long. Things were very difficult for the Muslims, and people could be heard lamenting the death of their loved ones from every home, since it was not forbidden yet at that time. And the Arabs had a specific way that they lamented, and they said things out loud, out of grief. This time was a really sorrowful time for our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had lost his beloved uncle, Hamza radiallahu anhu, in this battle. His uncle who had always been there to defend him. Even when Hamza radiallahu anhu had accepted Islam, it was because he spoke out against Abu Jahl and said to him, "How dare you raise your hand against my nephew?" So it was in defense of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he suddenly accepted Islam, because he couldn't bear to watch Abu Jahl criticize Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's how much he loved the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also loved him dearly, and he said on the day when Hamza radiallahu anhu was martyred, "Hamza doesn't even have anyone left to cry for him. No women to cry after his martyrdom." Because all the other Sahaba who were martyred had families and women who cried for them. But Hamza radiallahu anhu did not have a family. And Musab bin Umair radiallahu anhu, one of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beloved Sahaba, was also martyred during this battle. He had been the first to be sent to Medina, and he spread Islam there. Losing him was also very tragic for the Muslims, so they were heartbroken. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them about how he helped them at the Battle of Badr. وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ, when you were weak. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Therefore, have fear of Allah. Perhaps you may become thankful. If the Muslims remembered how Allah helped them at Badr, they would naturally be grateful and they would feel better. This is what we should do now as well, when our hearts are so heavy due to the situation in Palestine. We have to remember how Allah had made the Muslims so honorable before, when Islam spread to so many parts of the world. He can bring those times back, and He will help the Muslims too. He had helped the early Muslims at Badr, so of course He could help them again after Uhud. So they're reminded not to lose hope. إِذْ تَقُولُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remember when you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said to the believers. This is something that happened at the Battle of Badr. أَلَيْنْ يَكْفِيَكُمْ أَنْ يُمِدَّكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِثَلَاثَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُنْزَلِينَ. Is it not enough that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should send down 3,000 angels to help you? This is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said to the believers, so they would not lose courage. He was telling people that Allah is all able to send down so many angels to help them. Just thinking about how Allah can help people in a way that we don't understand is so comforting. Knowing that He will send angels down to help us, it just makes us feel so much better. Even though He can easily help us otherwise too. He doesn't need angels to help the Muslims. But when the Muslims felt like they had help from the Ghaib, meaning the unseen, at the Battle of Badr, and when they knew that there were angels fighting alongside them at the battle, they were not afraid anymore. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send 3,000 angels down to help you. We learned this from a Qatada narration. On the day of Badr, the believers were helped by 1,000 angels at first, then 3,000, and then 5,000. And other narrations say that it says 3,000 in this ayah, but there were 1,000 angels who helped the believers. The angels actually fought alongside the Muslims in the Battle of Badr. But sometimes they're just sent to comfort the Muslims, so they don't despair. Those angels come to those who say that their Lord is Allah, and they are steadfast. And we learned this from an ayah in the Quran. And we see examples of this happening in Palestine right now, when our Muslim brothers and sisters have been driven out of their homes and they're watching their family members die. It's unbearable, even for us to watch, even for a little bit. But they are being so strong while they go through it all, patiently, because the angels say to them, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't be afraid and don't be sorrowful and don't worry about what will happen afterwards. But that only happens to people who say that their Lord is Allah and they are so steadfast on Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends angels to strengthen their hearts, and those angels are their friends. And this will happen at the time of death for those people too. Those angels are there for them by their side. Even with people like us, sometimes when we are really sad, when we're going through problems, all of a sudden we feel better because the angels descend to comfort us and they give us the strength to get through whatever is going on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who sends down that tranquility through the angels. And by saying that 3,000 angels would descend at Badr to help them, it's not like each person needed an angel to fight along with him, because the angels are so powerful. Even one would have been enough. We know that angel Jibrail has 600 wings. He is huge. He picked up all the people of Lut alayhi salam's nation on one wing, one of his wings. And he raised them to the sky and threw them down as a punishment for the grave sin they were caught up in. So he would have been enough to destroy the enemy, and Badr, all by himself. But the Muslims were told not to worry, that they would be helped by 3,000 angels. Because we think that there is strength in numbers, we connect a large army to victory. So the Muslims were told not to worry, because them being few in numbers compared to the Kufar army, when there were 313 Muslims against 1,000 Kufar, and the Muslims were not that well prepared. So they had been helped then. And we learn from what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the believers, how a leader should be, how he should encourage his people when things are difficult. Instead of telling them that they don't have a chance and that they're all going to die, or making them feel hopeless, he said to them, "Ittaqulu lil mu'mineen." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the believers to recall that time when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling them that, isn't it enough that Allah would help them through the angels, and he will send down 3,000 angels. Bala in tasbiru wa tattaqu. Rather, if you remain patient and on your guard, wa ya'tukum min fawrihim, and if the enemy comes to suddenly attack you, هَذَا يُمْدِدُكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِخَمْسَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُسَوِّمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send to your aid not just 3,000 but 5,000 specially marked angels. This meant that those angels were sent just to help the believers. So they were marked for that purpose. Like when people wear a special badge, they had a mark on them. Those angels descended on horses, and their horses had white foreheads. When a believer would raise his sword to strike the enemy, that person's head would fall off even before they struck him, because the angels were fighting with them. And those who were killed by the angels had special marks on their necks, and that proved that they were killed by others. Some of the Sahaba even saw the angels as men who they didn't recognize. So angels were sent down on that day to fight along the Muslim army and to give them strength. In fact, when Jibreel alayhi salam asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam later on, what do you think of the Ashabi Badr, meaning those who fought at Badr? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, they are the best of all. Jibreel alayhi salam had then replied, the angels who fought at the Battle of Badr are the best from among the angels too. Subhanallah. So angels did descend on that day, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam even said, Jibreel alayhi salam is here with his horses and weapons, ready to fight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped the Muslims then, when they were so few in number and only had two horses, and they weren't really prepared to fight, even mentally. Then why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not send his help at the Battle of Uhud, like he had done at Badr? There had to be a reason, right? And that reason is coming up in the next ayah. وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى لَكُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told you this as good news. The angels were sent down at the Battle of Badr to make you happy. وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُكُمْ بِهِ. And so that your hearts may be at ease with it. Because wars are not fought only with numbers and weapons. People have to have the courage to fight. If they lose hope even before they start fighting, it's as if they don't even have a chance. It's like they've lost already. So, and this doesn't just apply to wars, but also in life when things become tough. Anyone who starts thinking that there's no way out and things can't get any better for them, ever, as if it's all over, that person has basically given up. And when someone gives up, there's no way that they can succeed. That's why it's very important that we don't give up hope and we don't despair. وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ And victory comes only from Allah, the Almighty, the All-Wise. This is important. Okay, and we have to understand this. He doesn't need angels for support or anyone else. He just has to say kun, be, for something to happen, and it happens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent the aid of angels at the Battle of Uhud for the believers to offset the aid of shaitans to the disbelievers. لِيَقُتَّأَ تَرَفًا مِّنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا So that he might cut off a flank of the disbelievers. There were very powerful disbelievers the Muslims were fighting against. Like Abu Jahl, Uqba, Walid bin Mughira, Umayyah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted the believers by doing away with those leaders who had so much power. The 70 disbelievers who died during that battle were not regular people. They were people who were very important to the kuffar, the disbelievers. That is why the enemy wanted revenge. Abu Sufyan led the disbelievers in battle this time at Uhud. Abu Jahl had been their leader at the Battle of Badr, and he was killed. So this time Abu Sufyan led the disbelievers at Uhud. أَوْ يَكْبِتَهُمْ فَيَنْقَلِبُوا خَائِبِينَ Or making them withdraw with utter disappointment. They were humiliated because of this, and everyone knew about it. Everyone was so impressed by the Muslims who were fighting against such a huge army when they were so few compared to the disbelievers. And the kuffar had to run off when they were defeated, so it was embarrassing for them. So up to here, we have learned about the Battle of Badr a little bit in the past few ayat. Inshallah, the next ayah will take us back to the Battle of Uhud. So during the Battle of Uhud, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was badly injured. He lost some teeth and had cuts on his face. His face was bleeding. When all this happened, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, How can a nation succeed when they made their messenger's face bleed? He meant that those people had made their messenger's face bleed, even though he didn't do anything but call them towards Allah. How would those people succeed or attain guidance? This ayah was revealed at that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam not to say this. لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٌ You have no authority to decide the affair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he has no control over guiding people. Only Allah can guide people or he lets them go astray. If Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had any control, he would have really wanted his uncle, Abu Talib, to accept Islam before he died. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept telling him that it would be fine even if he just whispered the Shahada to him in his ear instead of reading it out loud. He wanted to be able to say before Allah that he had believed, that his uncle had believed. But that didn't happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that he can't decide if someone would be guided or not. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can decide that. There is a great lesson in this for us. We are not supposed to judge others or even say that so-and-so will never be guided or they won't be able to ever enter Jannah or that someone will end up in Jahannam. We are nobody to decide that. People often start talking badly of others when they start doing a few good deeds themselves because they start thinking that they're better than others. But we should be very careful not to make comments like that about others because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ يُعَذِّبَهُمْ It is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whether He pardons or punishes them. He created all of them, so he can guide whomever he wants at any time. And we know that Khalid bin Walid did accept Islam, and so did Abu Sufyan and Ikramah bin Abu Jahl. And Khalid bin Walid is the one Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something so honorable about. He said that he is one of the swords of Allah. He became a sword of Allah. Allahu Akbar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even allow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say about the disbelievers they were fighting against that they would never be guided. How can we say such things about other Muslims? So Allah can turn to them in mercy or punish them. It's all up to Him. فَإِنَّهُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. They are the wrongdoers. They were unjust. They did shirk. They associated partners with Allah. And they disobeyed Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he cannot say for sure what their end will be like. So we should not be judgmental and start saying bad things about other people. We don't know what that person's end will be like. Even a very sinful person may be forgiven if they accept Islam at the end, before they die. And we don't know what our end is going to be like, what state we'll be in when death comes. So we should never be proud of the little bit of knowledge we have and start judging others. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. We briefly learn about the Battle of Uhud here, and we'll learn the details later on, inshallah. يَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He pardons whom He wills and punishes whom He wills. Nobody can question why Allah forgives one person and punishes another. It's all up to Him. At times, He forgives people for all the sins they've ever committed throughout life, just for doing one good deed. And another person can be seized for one thing they say or do. We learn from a narration that there were two brothers. One was really pious and the other was very sinful. The pious one always reminded the other to do good deeds because he didn't want his brother to continue doing bad things. But his brother didn't listen. So he got so angry one day and he ended up saying that Allah would never forgive him because he was just so bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seized him for saying that and he forgave his brother who had been sinning all along, subhanallah. So we should never say things carelessly or judge others. Even when we try to call people to deen, to Islam, and remind them to stay away from sins, we should never give up on them or start thinking that they're never going to be forgiven. We don't know when that person can change. Many people turn towards Allah later on in life, and that's not hard for Allah at all to change someone's heart. And we don't know what we'll be doing when we are about to die, so we should always be afraid. Many people start thinking that they're so good, so they're guiding others. We must stay humble. We don't know if the other person that we may be looking down on will become close to Allah and how we are going to be later on. We just don't know. So we should never be proud. Nobody can question Allah. He has total authority. And He reminds us, He can forgive whoever He wants and punish whoever He wants. That doesn't mean that He will randomly just punish people when they haven't even done anything wrong. It means that He can forgive people for sinning or seize them for it. Wallahu ghafurur rahim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving, all merciful. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la taqulu riba adu'afan mudha'afa. O believers, do not live on interest, which is compounded over and over again. Why is this mentioned here? We learned the ayat at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, in which interest was forbidden completely. This ayah was actually revealed before the ayat at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the Muslims to develop a hatred for interest. Okay, because these ayat were sent first. And then later on in Al-Baqarah, he forbids interest or usury completely. How is this ayah related to the rest of the ayat here? When some of the Muslims had descended from the mountain where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had positioned them at the Battle of Uhud, they had moved from there to be able to collect spoils of war because they wanted to acquire wealth. This is why they made up an excuse to move from their posts, saying that it's okay for them to move, to leave from there, because the Muslims had won the battle already. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told them to stay there no matter what, but they claimed that it didn't matter anymore because they had already won. The other Muslims, some of them disagreed. So some of the Muslims argued with each other over this, but most of the archers left their posts. That is why the Muslims had to suffer such a great loss when the enemy suddenly attacked from behind again. They did this because they wanted to have money. Okay, they left their positions where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had posted them, just to collect spoils of war. And because of this love for money, people charge interest or usury on the loans they give other people without caring, even if someone may be going through difficulty. That person gives another a loan when someone is forced to borrow from them, but he charges interest on the amount, so it gets multiplied when the borrower returns it to him. That is simple interest. But here, the words adwa'afa mudwa'afa are used, and that is compound interest. That means if someone borrows $1,000 and they're not able to pay it back within a certain time, it becomes $1,200. Then the interest is charged on that $1,200, not on that $1,000 they had borrowed. So then that $1,200 becomes $1,500. And then the next month, that person has to pay interest on that $1,500, not the $1,000 that he originally borrowed. So that amount the interest is charged on is not fixed. When the amount of the loan increases, the interest on it increases also, whether it's a 5% interest rate or 10%. So the loan keeps increasing. At times, people are charged so much interest on the money they borrow that it becomes even more than the actual amount they borrowed. With compound interest, it just keeps increasing. This is how people give loans even today, even among Muslims, and the banks make money from all this. That is why this was forbidden. There's a hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that tells us, when interest and zina, meaning adultery, become common among people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes those people. That punishment can even be in the form of a pandemic, like we recently went through. Nobody is happily willing to pay interest. They dislike it, but they pay it because they have to. The lender takes advantage of them having to borrow from them, so it's unfair. There is lanat of Allah, meaning the curse of Allah, on the one who pays interest and the one who takes it, meaning that neither of the two will receive the mercy of Allah. We are told that there are 70 bad things in interest. And if we just look at the ayah where we have been told to leave interest or prepare for war against Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that should be enough to make us stay away from usury. We have no strength to stand up before Allah and His Messenger, so we should avoid it. This ayah is meant to make the Muslims dislike usury or interest and stop taking it. And it proves to us that faith is not just to say that we believe. It's not enough to just say we're believers. Because Allah addresses the believers here when He says not to take interest, to charge interest. So we're not allowed to charge interest. So we have to obey. We have to stop. If we claim to be believers, we have to live according to His rules. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ And fear Allah so that you may prosper. If people are conscious of Allah and they do things to please Him and avoid doing other things that He has forbidden, they have taqwa. They are the muttaqeen and then they will succeed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the believers to stay away from interest. Now, وَاتَّقُوا النَّارُ الَّتِي أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ And guard yourselves against the hellfire which is prepared for the disbelievers. This has been done already. The fire of Jahannam has been prepared already. لِلْكَافِرِينَ For the disbelievers. Why are kafirin mentioned here? When we're not talking about idol worshippers or people who associate partners with Allah. Okay, we were talking about believers because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the believers not to be involved in usury or interest. So who does the word kafirin actually refer to here? It refers to anyone who disobeys this order of Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden usury and told people not to live off of usury, there is no excuse to be involved in it. We know that it's common for banks to take advantage of people by charging interest on the loans they give. But even normal people charge interest on the loans they give out at times. And that is so wrong because the one who owes the amount is not able to pay it off. And it just keeps increasing over time. So people are never able to pay it off. The only way for poor people to pay it is if someone helps them. Otherwise, they are indebted for life. And the lender treats them like slaves just because of the amount they owe. This happens a lot in certain countries where the rich people give money to the less fortunate and then they take advantage of them their whole lives. Even their kids continue to serve those rich people just because they are never able to pay off that loan. And those wealthy people never forgo the loan, even though that amount doesn't really make a difference to them. But it is a big amount for the poor people, the poor person who owns it. Or they would have never borrowed that money to begin with. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to save ourselves from the fire that has been prepared for the disbelievers. And anyone who acts like disbelievers means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will include them with the disbelievers. Nobody is going to end up in Jannah for doing the things they do. When we think about countries in which everything revolves around interest, we can't expect all the citizens to be financially stable. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to leave interest and save yourselves from the hellfire. And anyone who is afraid of the hellfire will not be able to charge interest on loans because that person would know that he or she is taking the fire in exchange for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says lil kafirin because He wants us to understand that we can't consider ourselves Muslim if we charge interest on money that we lend people. It doesn't matter if the person prays Salah and does whatever Muslims are supposed to do. Allah has called him a kafir if he is involved with this sin. And he will be punished the same way as the disbelievers. وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ And obey Allah and His Messenger. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to listen to Him and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These ayat of the Quran are the actual words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we obey the orders these ayat give, we are basically obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ So that you are treated with mercy. We have to turn to the Quran when we want to find the mercy of Allah. We have to obey the orders of Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is the key to finding mercy. If we disobey Allah and His Messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we distance ourselves from the mercy of Allah. Note that we have to obey the Messenger as well as Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, مَنْ يُطِيعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever obeys the Rasul or the Messenger has in fact obeyed Allah. So doing what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to do is like obeying the orders of Allah. Anyone who denies that hadith today cannot implement this ayah in their lives. There are people out there who say that the Quran is enough for them, that they don't need the hadith. The hadith are the statements of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that the Messenger's job was to yatlu alayhim ayatihim wa yuzakkihim wa yu'allimuhum al-kitaba wal-hikmata. He recites the ayat of Allah to people, explains what they mean, and practically shows them how to follow what they order. And he only said what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to. He never just said something that he felt like saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who used to reveal the verses to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained those ayat to people. For example, the Quran just tells us to establish prayer and pay the obligatory charity, the zakat. But how do we learn how we are supposed to pray and pay the zakat? We learn these things from the hadith. We learn all the details from hadith. Some people say that they only follow the hadith that are according to the Quran and not the rest. But that's wrong, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it clear that His Messenger does not just say things He feels like saying, and He explains what the verses mean. There are other people who say that the hadith were not preserved accurately and they were made up afterwards. But that's not true, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Quran and the hadith, because the Quran is explained in the hadith. So the hadith basically explains what we learn in the Quran. We wouldn't have understood the Quran properly without all the details from the hadith. There are additions that people try to make to the hadith, and they are labeled as the da'if hadith, meaning the weak ones. And the muhaddithin, meaning those who narrate or explain the hadith, have told people clearly which hadith are da'if, and they have categorized them as weak so people know. None of the authentic or sahih hadith go against anything that we learn in the Quran. They have been preserved for us. It is actually kufr or disbelief for anyone to say that they don't believe in the hadith. As Muslims, we have to believe in hadith, or the statements of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as the Quran. The Quran tells us, "Ma ataakumur rasuluhu fakhudhuh." Take whatever the Rasul or Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you. "Wama nahakum anhu fantahu." And stop doing whatever He tells you to stop. So we have to follow whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to do in the Quran, and whatever Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to do also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to do that. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم آمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم منزل الكتاب سريع الحساب اهزم الأحزاب. اللهم اهزمهم وزلزلهم. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.